Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody,
Woo-hoo!
And Merry Christmas to those of you that are celebrating. It is Wednesday, December 23rd, as you can see by all the lights streaming in above me at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. We are
a rare matinee today, and a rare, like, old school. If you've been following us a while, Chad and I used to do Under the Radar, just the two of us. It was a horrible show back then. We probably will have another horrible show today. Once we started to get Stalika and Rocco and some other regular members, the show got a lot better. Have you ever gone back and watched some of those old shows, Chad? They really were bad.
They were awful.
So anyway, but here we go with what will probably be another bad show.
Absolutely. So anybody that's watching this for quality content, forget it. But if you just have nothing else to do, and especially tomorrow, Christmas Eve, you want something to watch, there's no college basketball on.
I'm not happy about that. It kind of makes me think that we've forgotten the meaning of the season when we have a day without college basketball.
Anyhow, this is our Under the Radar podcast. David, Under the Radar, what the heck does that mean?
Well, it's the 22, and in this year, 21, because the Ivy League isn't playing, regular multi-bid leagues, and we want to make sure that this is understood. A one-bid league is not a distinction. It is not something that's predetermined before the season starts. It's just that, like, 9 years out of 10, these conferences are typically sending one bid to the NCAA tournament. So what we are not talking about is the Power Five, the SEC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac-12, nor are we talking about the five other regular multi-bid college basketball leagues. Let me see if I can get them all. The Big East, the American, the West Coast, the Mountain West. I always forget one. I know what they are, but
the Atlantic 10.
The Atlantic 10, thank you. It's the 10 leagues that aren't that. And the other disqualifier would be a good one. If a team is ranked in the top 25, we wouldn't talk about them here. No one's ranked in the top 25, Chad. I don't think anyone is really even getting votes in the top 25. Kind of disappointing for people like us that really like to watch these leagues and, like, want these leagues to be successful. In any given year, there's maybe three or four teams out of these 22 conferences that are inside the bubble. Maybe we're on pace for that again, but no one in the top 25 right now.
No one in the top 25. Even receiving votes, there's only two teams. Abilene Christian got one vote in the coaches poll last week. Western Kentucky got one in the AP. To be ranked dead last in those polls. But right. We're not really close at this point. You know, there's a couple of these teams that, if they keep winning, could get there.
Yeah.
But, David, what I like to do is we start the show with a feature conference. And you mentioned going back and watching our old shows, because, in fact, I did do a brief canvas of our old shows very recently, in fact. Because I was wondering, is there any conference that we've never featured as the feature conference?
I think we've gotten them all. Well, there's 18 weeks of season. I think we do 17 shows, because we shut this down the last week because conference tournaments have started. I suppose there's one that we haven't done. We can't get to all 22 every year.
Right. We don't get to have all 22 every year. We may have missed a few. And I actually found, David, that there was a conference that we have never done as our feature conference, despite the fact we've talked about this conference a ton. And I figure, as a Christmas gift to everybody this year, 2020 is almost done, thankfully. I wanted to give this as my gift to everybody, our feature conference for this final show right before Christmas. David, here's our feature conference.
It's still black on the screen. Still black. We need a faster computer, Chad.
We do need a faster computer, but hopefully.
Oh, here it is. Yes. How about that? How have we never had this as the feature conference?
It is one of our favorite conferences here, David. The Front Range Conference.
The mythical Front Range Conference. Well, that's why. But, yeah, I again, and everyone kind of knows about the Big Five. Way back in the day, I suppose, there was the mythical Miami Valley. Stalika still likes to make reference to that. Up until about, was it 2 or 3 years ago, this was a thing. They all played each other. They actually had a recognized champion, and I think the winners would raise banners. Colorado not playing all of the Front Range schools every year. I believe it's Colorado. But we still love the Front Range. How much fun is the Front Range?
And in fact, if you look at that conference column, that is, in fact, their records against each other. I've taken extra special time to get this ready for us. Their past week's results and everything. We did see, I think we saw one Front Range game this past week, or maybe we didn't even. There's the past week results. But right now, Colorado and Wyoming tied for first place. Denver off to a rough 0-2 start. Colorado State, therefore, still have not even played a Front Range game yet.
Yeah, and I guess if this is an under-the-radar conference, Colorado, really good. They could be inside the bubble. They're getting votes.
They are.
Yeah, so...
So as we go through the rest of the season here with the Front Range Conference, if Colorado does get into the top 25, we'll no longer be discussing them.
Would no longer be under the radar. But good rivalry. I kind of understand that it does complicate things. Like the Big Five, that's four out-of-conference games, essentially. And then I believe the Atlantic 10 designates, don't they, one of the two games as the Big Five game?
Well, the teams do. I don't know if it's from the Atlantic 10. I think it's from the teams.
Yeah,
the team.
Okay, so the teams kind of agree which one is the Big Five, and I'm pretty sure they alternate, like, between, especially if it's a home-and-home, which one it is. I believe that they did this for the Front Range as well, as you know, Colorado State, Air Force, and Wyoming all in the same conference. But, it's just another fun league. It's fun seeing Colorado and Wyoming play. It's certainly fun watching Colorado and Colorado State play. We just love this. We have fun with it in the write-ups. We love the Front Range. We want it back in full force, all six teams playing around Robin every year.
Oh, well, good news for all of our fans out there. We'll be able to show the Front Range standings from here on out the rest of this season here. We're going to be able to keep this screen here. So every week from now on, we'll check in on the Front Range at some point during our shows.
Yes.
Because we got to bring this back. The Front Range
Yes, it is. Yes.
David, so let's go through the other leagues here that are actually under the radar and actually contain all under the radar teams as opposed to, only 20% under the radar.
Yeah.
The America East Conference, where everybody has finally played a game now that NJIT and Maine have gotten going here.
Yeah.
And the big surprise was, of course, Vermont in their opener. Finally, they fall to Lowell before – in a back-to-back games at Lowell, lose the first one, win the second.
UMass Lowell, a fascinating resume. 2-4 in the year, the two wins are Vermont and San Francisco, two pretty good teams, and they almost beat Ohio State, but they also have not been consistently that good. I think, and I believe you'll agree with me, that Vermont, when you look at the pieces that they have, that they appear to have the best pieces. The circumstances have really worked out to their disfavor, only getting on the court twice. And again, that's not to take anything away from UMass Lowell, but like this is a Vermont team that has a pretty high ceiling. But when you can't play, when you can't get on the court, and you go up against anyone that's been out there 6 and 7 times, you're at a disadvantage. Now, it's no one's fault, but it is a big circumstantial disadvantage that Vermont has to overcome. You hope that they're going to be able to get some out-of-conference games to kind of build up that profile. I still think they have the best pieces. But are they going to catch UMBC and even Stony Brook that's looked kind of good?
UMBC, a big first week in a conference play, two back-to-back road wins at Albany, 65-64, 65-60. You know, Albany scored 66 points, you could win a game, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah, right.
UMBC, getting that road sweep, and we're going to be looking for a lot of that for this year, David, with these back-to-back games. Who can get those road sweeps? Because that is even bigger than just winning a road game, winning a road sweep now this year.
Sure.
Upcoming games this week, it's NJIT at Vermont. So Vermont with a pair of home games against NJIT team that has played all of one game so far.
Yeah.
I guess they're going to get Ryder later today here if that game is on. As we've been saying all season with these upcoming games, this is what's on the schedule. Some of them are probably off already. Others are going to get postponed. But
right.
This is our best guess is what you're going to see here. Lowell trip to Stony Brook, I guess we can throw that out there too.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Atlantic Sun then, which does have a team that has been playing really well here in this Liberty team. If the stuff ever comes up on the screen, if it doesn't come up on the screen, we'll just
yeah
computer sub here.
Okay. Right.
There we go. Liberty beat Alcorn State. That's all they did this week, actually.
Yeah, not a real eventful week, as you would expect for a lot of teams, but still, like, they have some pretty good wins on their resume. This was a year that, and I know we've said this before, we weren't really expecting much out of Liberty. We didn't expect them to be doormats, but we didn't expect them to be conference frontrunners, much less the standout conference frontrunner. Gulf Coast kind of had a moment against a really, short-staffed Miami, Florida team. It was still a good win. but no one else in this league, you know, Lipscomb, Stetson, who we liked and you liked especially, no one really looking good at all when you compare them to what Liberty has done and how good Liberty has looked.
And if you want to talk about looking bad, North Florida with a home loss to Flagler College. It's now Flagler's second D1 win on the season.
Which is more than what North Florida has if you're keeping score at home.
North Florida was clearly – I'm sorry, Flagler College was clearly the better team in that game. That's bad.
So the media – you know, in the preseason, we do the – we don't really do our previews so much anymore as we, like, evaluate and comment on Media Day, Chad. Don't go back and read what I said about North Florida.
In terms of the upcoming week, there's only three games that – one of them which is being – played as we record this, and actually Bellarmine is only down 7 about midway through the second half against Notre Dame as we record this.
Yeah.
I think Notre Dame's going to win that game, but what an upset would be for this Bellarmine team. And
yeah, no video of that game available. I guess Notre Dame just didn't have the resources. You know, not every athletic department has what other athletic departments have. Notre Dame, a low-resource school, they just couldn't get it on today, Chad.
Yeah, I feel bad for them. Anybody wants to donate to Notre Dame's athletic department, please do so. They are desperately in need.
Yeah.
See, there's nothing else. The teams are taking the holiday break, and I think it's not till like around next weekend that we're going to start getting into conference play with this league.
Yeah.
Over in the Big Sky Conference, again, this screen is – really going to start slapping this computer here, David. I guess, you know, it's
– yeah.
Must be your
okay, forget giving money to Notre Dame. We need some money over here for our broadcast.
there we go. I don't know that anybody really had any wins of note. I mean, congrats to Idaho State for back-to-back wins over Sagu American Indian College.
Still no D1 wins. You know, two fewer than what Flagler has. Southern Utah, still a good story off to the 4-1 start. Haven't really done much this week, though, so it's
could be a rivalry win now over Dixie State.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did. I'm glad you pointed that out. Apologies to Dixie State. I forgot they were a transitional team. But, no, a nice win for them, at least rivalry-wise. There's that front-range team, Northern Colorado. I still think, Chad, although they're kind of buried in the standings right now, is that Eastern Washington at 2-4, yeah, that isn't as good as, like, Sacramento State's 3-0 or whatever. But when you look at the 2-4 and you look at how competitive they were against legitimately good teams, I still think that at the end of the day, Eastern Washington's going to be on top of this league. I know I kind of, like, dogged them a little bit for not beating Wazoo. I was sure they would. Wazoo is still undefeated, though, and maybe a little bit better than what we thought.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you, except I do like the Southern Utah team. I think that
They can stay with them. Wow.
I think this might be the team to really keep an eye on this season. The Southern Utah team. I've liked what I've seen out of them so far. After the 7-1 start, they've got the week off. The whole conference, as you can see, pretty much has the week off. Other than, you know, Weber State, I guess tonight is going to get blown out by BYU. Northern Arizona is going to get crushed by Gonzaga. Sac State's going to get beaten up by St. Mary's, you know.
Yeah. Some Beehive action tonight. That game has been, in the past, really exciting. I don't think it will be tonight, though.
No.
David,
the next conference up is going to be the Big South Conference again, if it ever loads. If it doesn't load, then you know what? Maybe we'll just, you know, make things up here as we go along. But actually, I really want to talk about this Winthrop team because they picked up a great win on Saturday over a Voith that was a very good Furman team and did it in by 16 points.
Yes, one of the better – I know it might take 20 minutes to do, but if we could just pull up their team sheet here, Chad. One of the better under-the-radar stories and really maybe one of the better stories in all of college basketball. I think we liked them by Big South standards. I don't think we thought of them as being an under-the-radar top 10 team or a team that could land inside the bubble. But when – you know, 5-0, and while they haven't beaten brand-name teams, they have beaten good teams. You'll see it here in about 15 minutes as soon as the page loads. There we go. But, you know, Furman, a good win. Greensboro, a good win. The two of the better teams in the SoCon beating both of them. Little Rock, a Sun Belt front runner. And, well, okay, and two road wins at Upstate, who's not good at all. But well,
those are conference games already. And, in fact, all they got left was conference games.
Yeah. Is that – but again, I like this Winthrop team. I think that they've displayed that they can win games that are hard to win. I mean, they pasted Furman. And, you know, they kind of ran away from Greensboro too. So, I think we're going to see them really high in our poll today. And can they make a run at the bubble if they run through this conference?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I look at this Winthrop team, I say, where are they going to lose a game? And I don't see it. They probably will slip up once or twice.
Yeah.
I really hope for their sake that none of those slip-ups are in the conference tournament, because what a fascinating case study they would be for the committee this year. They didn't beat any high-name teams, but they beat three solid mid-major programs.
Yeah.
And only slip-up, one or two slip-ups, and that's it. So, hey,
yeah,
who knows?
And again, no one in the conference, even on the same planet as them, when you see them on the floor.
Oh, yeah, no, I just don't know where a loss would come from this Winthrop team. Any loss they suffer before the NCAA tournament, it's going to be an upset loss.
Right.
They are actually – they got a conference game tonight. They're playing Campbell or sometime this afternoon. But that's the upcoming games there in the Big South Conference. David, over in the Big West Conference, we got to give a shout-out to UC San Diego, who finally last night got their first ever D1 game in, albeit against a non-D1 foe, St. Catharines last night.
Yeah, we'll sort of count that. Still can't get on the fly. I mean, they made the transition up, and they are just dragging their feet. No, you kind of hate – I know things on the left coast are brutal. Like, we've heard about it from Rocco, like what these teams are having to do to get games. It's hard everywhere, but it's especially hard out there. And, like, there's some good teams, especially in this conference, that just can't get on the floor against anybody. But, you know, it's good that they finally got to play as a D1 school. Hopefully soon they'll get to play as a D1 school against another D1 school.
They're playing St. Catherine again today, so that's not going to help. Let's talk a little bit about the Gauchos here.
Yeah, I mean, I really like them. They were the team that I like most coming into the year. And again, not on the floor a whole lot, but when they have been, they've looked pretty good. Nice win against a Pepperdine team that had also looked good at times. But I think they're the team of the conference, and Riverside's still the story of the conference. I'm not seeing much else. Now, granted, there hasn't been much else. Hawaii, no D1 opponents. Fullerton, no D1 opponents. UC Davis, only one D1 win. Some of the teams that UC Irvine, 1-4, kind of disappointing there against D1 competition. There's just, again, some of these schools have had trouble getting on the floor against other D1 teams. But I've seen nothing outside of Riverside or UCSB that jumps out at me.
No, but I do want to circle here coming up Sunday and Monday as conference play does start. UCSB with the doubleheader at Irvine. So, we're going to be – I think one of the things I'm looking for is who can pull off these big sweeps in these road doubleheaders and back-to-back nights. UCSB gets those two. They are going to be in really good shape for running through this conference, quite honestly, because that's going to be
two of the tougher
games they're going to have all season.
Yeah, they will be.
David, over in the Colonial, we've got – I mean, honestly, we don't have anybody off to an incredible start. You look at, you know, a lot of losses this past week. But we do need to talk about what happened with Hofstra, who picked up the biggest win for this conference all season on just yesterday.
Yeah, and it's not even close. Up until that point, I don't want to say that we were disappointed in Hofstra, but we were – I think we were kind of the thinking that if anyone was going to run away from this league and be a solid under the radar ranked team, it would have been them, and we hadn't seen it. But we saw it yesterday. And is that sort of a turning point that kind of kickstarts their season that gets it in the gear? Elon a little bit better than normal. Drexel has had moments of greatness, but they've also been disappointing at times. But Hofstra, they really showed us something yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Richmond was a team we were talking about looking like a solid NCAA tournament team, and you go on the road and you beat them, albeit in front of zero fans. I don't know if there may have been a few people in the building. I'm not that certain. But
right. And they're hard to beat. On offense, they're a machine. They're really disciplined. They don't turn it over much. It's like Richmond is the team that will give anybody fits, and it takes a lot of discipline to beat a team like that. And Hofstra went out there and did it.
As we're recording this, actually, UNC Wilmington is crushing Delaware State right now in game of absolute, pretty much meaninglessness. As you can see, there's really not much else on the calendar coming up this week. Again, like we see with a lot of these leagues, is giving time off. for the holidays. Housing at Iona next week is the next notable game, I guess, if you can call anything notable. Mentioned a couple of teams, Abilene Christian being one of them. The other team that got a vote in at least one of the top, it was the AP poll there, was Western Kentucky, now sitting at 7-2, coming off a big road win at Alabama. They finished it up, followed it up last night with a blowout win over Tennessee Tech, which is notable because Charles Bassey didn't even play in this game. He's been nursing a bit of an injury.
Right. Now, this Western Kentucky team, I'm surprised they're not getting a little more love from the polls. 7-2. Their losses are West Virginia, who's ranked in the top 10, and they were in that game. They had a lead for more. They were ahead more than they were behind, and they were ahead in the second half. Now, they didn't get the win, but you don't look at that loss and think, oh, man, is this team in trouble? The other team that did kind of beat them handily was Louisville, but losing to West Virginia and Louisville isn't an alarming thing. And when you look at some of their wins at Alabama, and they've got some other really good ones too, this is a team that actually that both looks good and I think has the resume. Again, I don't know if we can pull it up here. It might take about 15 or 20 minutes. But this is a team that I would put inside the bubble right now.
You're talking Western Kentucky?
Yes.
Okay. While we pull up their resume here, David, we're going to fill by, I don't know, we need a little music or something with this. There we go. Here it is. Memphis, yeah. Northern Iowa, Rhode Island. These are scalps here. They're collecting.
Yeah, there are. And Northern Iowa at full strength when they won that game, I believe. Memphis just extended their coach. Anyway, that's a good resume.
Yeah. I mean, but you look going ahead here, all they've got left is conference games. I would note mostly what the conference you would say is doing is you're playing two home or two road games against whatever group of teams you're playing. You get one team that you get a home and road split on, and it happens to be Marshall, which is kind of interesting because these may be the top two teams of the conference. So they'll each get each other kind of in a standard fashion, one home, one road, just a few nights apart from each other.
Right, and I think they're doing that travel partner-wise. Anyway. Yeah.
And it was also, but overall for Conference USA, David, there was only three losses by this entire conference all week. Everyone's playing non-conference games, only Rice, FIU, and UAB going down. And maybe we should talk for a second about this UAB loss as well. They had been looking so good, had been undefeated, lose a tough game at home to Chattanooga team. And maybe it's more about Chattanooga, who we're going to talk about in a little while.
Yeah, we are. But since we're here, it was one of, I guess if there's any such thing as an under-the-radar showcase, that was it. Both teams undefeated. Now, both teams had basically gone to the bakery and eaten a bunch of cupcakes, but both also looking really good. And that's what we say all along. Like, why won't the good under-the-radar teams play each other more often? It was fun to see them play each other. It was a good game to watch. It was a really good win for Chattanooga, who we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And UAB, not that costly of a loss. When you look at the rest of the conference, Marshall really good, Western Kentucky certainly good, but I don't know if they have the horses to keep up with those two, but they're going to make quite a bit of noise, Andy Kennedy's team.
Yeah.
And they got Georgia Tech tonight.
They're playing Georgia Tech tonight. One of only two games on coming up in the next 7 days here for this conference. The other one is UTEP hosting Our Lady of the Lake, one of Mr. Stalika's favorite teams. He's not with us, so we're not going to talk about Our Lady of the Lake anymore.
Right, yeah.
Let's move over to the Horizon League, where Wright State, I'm getting more and more impressed by this team. They had a blowout win at Detroit Mercy. They also, I think that was their only game. Oh, they had the two blowout wins at Detroit Mercy. Those were their two games this week.
Yeah, and Detroit, a decent team in this conference. Wright State was a little late to get out on the court, and when they did get out there, they had a lot of rust in that first game, but they've looked really good since then. And when you look at the rest of the conference, no one else looking as good. NKU's had their moments, but not really. IUPUI hasn't really done much. They're not expected to do much.
They've only played one game, David. They haven't, haven't done much, but they are undefeated.
Yeah, UIC jumped out to that 3-0 start against somewhat weak competition, and they're 2-2 since. But yeah, Wright State, really the class of the league so far.
Well, we did like this Youngstown State team coming into the season as well. They did pick up a win at Northern Kentucky. I believe
they split
the two games at NKU, but NKU is a tough place to win, so getting that split is was pretty big for them. So we'll keep an eye on that. It'll be interesting when those two teams actually play each other, Youngstown and Wright State, and maybe NKU being in the hunt here as we go through. And Oakland and Oakland 9 losses, I think that leads the nation already. There's the upcoming schedule. We will have games Saturday and Sunday involving this league. Green Bay at Wright State and Youngstown State at Cleveland State being the doublehead.
God, Robert Morris, it still throws me whenever in Fort Wayne, two teams that are new to the league that I'm not used to seeing in the league. For a second there, I thought that was a mistake.
Well, Robert Morris at Fort Wayne, believe it or not, is a Horizon League game and not a non-conference Northeast versus Summit League game. David, as we do every week, this next conference is all you. I'll just step back for a moment.
You got to like, when was the last time, you know, a team like Columbia, who doesn't have a rich basketball history, didn't have any losses going into Christmas? It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, they all are. They're all undefeated. Yeah, this might be the best conference in the nation.
It is. Yeah, hell of a mole there. We miss the Ivy League. Please come back. The Big Ten, the Pac-12 canceled football, but they brought it back. Please come back.
We also miss Siena because they still have not found a way to get the court yet this season. Real tough times there up in Albany for the Saints. But we are getting a little bit of action here. We're up to almost a few teams have four games already here in the Metro Atlantic with Rick Pitino's Iona team among the three-way tie for first place, David, coming off of a sweep at Ryder.
Yeah, and you knew that they were going to make noise this year, and they are.
I didn't think they would make noise this year, honestly. I thought that I just didn't think there was enough on the roster here, no matter how good of a coach Pitino may or may not be. But there they are. They're right there early on, tied with St. Peter's and Marist off. Marist off to a surprisingly good start. They picked up the sweep at Manhattan. Again, these road sweeps is what we got to look for this season.
Yeah, and how about Marist off to, you know, they're 5-1 overall and looking pretty good. Not a team that I thought would finish very far above the bottom. Off to a great start.
The only conference games coming up this next week is Canisius and Monmouth playing a doubleheader at in New Jersey and West Long. That's about all you can look forward to in this conference. Let's just jump right on ahead to the Mid-American Conference, which is going to be a kind of a fun conference to watch this season. I think there's several teams here that have really impressed me so far, quite honestly, including this Akron team. Look at that, the number three strength of schedule in the nation they've played already, and they're 1-1 against team.
Well, and they haven't played many games, but so all of the strength of schedule, like Metric knows, is that they've played Ohio. Who came in, but God, they blasted Ohio. Ohio really impressed us in that game against Illinois, but they have the last two games haven't really looked good at all, losing to Marshall. Now that was a really good game, but Akron just blew their doors off. And an Akron team that largely hadn't gotten our attention because they hadn't been on the court very much, suddenly looking outstandingly good.
Yeah, they are. I'm not that certain, what else? I mean, Bowling Green, we liked heading into the season. They are 5-2 overall. They are 1-0 in conference, so I guess we definitely can't write them off at all at this point. I think Kent State has been having some issues getting games in as well.
Yeah, and that's a chronic problem for a lot of teams across the country.
Yeah, but coming up this next week here in the Mid-American, just a few games on the schedule. I believe that Buffalo-West Virginia game is already off. Actually, Buffalo has had an outbreak. Well, that's not till next Tuesday, actually. That might still be on. That's still a week away. They might be able to get clear to play by then. But the only game of the weekend is going to be Olivet College at Eastern Michigan. So, David, while we load the next conference, why don't you give everybody a nice preview of Olivet College?
Okay, yeah,
Olivet.
Olivet College. Who the hell? I don't know anything about Olivet College. Where the hell did Eastern Michigan dig that one up?
A little change in the standings.
Play Siena, Jesus.
Jumping over to the MEAC, and you'll notice a change in the standings. The MEAC did announce a new conference schedule, a part of which is actually they split up into divisions for this season only. They've got a Northern and a Southern Division, which are on the screen there. Bethune-Cookman and Maryland Eastern Shore, technically in this conference, both have opted out, and I just took them right off the screen, so we don't have to bother looking at it. And, South Carolina State 0-10, so worse than Oakland.
And am I right in saying, I think for Cookman, that's it. Isn't this their last year?
Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman are on their way to the SWAC next season. North Carolina A&T on their way to the Big South. So
yeah, so Cookman will not play another MEAC game. Who knew last year when that was going to be it? So anyway, yeah.
I got to give a shout out in this conference to Howard, who came in Friday night and won, I believe it's called the Battle for the Real HU against their old conference rival, Hampton. Picked up the first win of the season, and this was without Maker on the court still. So a nice win for them, actually.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they're keeping that one going. You hope that NC Central and North Carolina A&T will also keep playing. Cookman and FAMU will certainly keep playing. Yeah. But I don't know. The MEAC, it's going to have a healthy lineup, I think, even after some of these schools depart. But yeah, as far as this year's go, I still like this Norfolk State team.
I'm with you on Norfolk State. And as you can see, they still are not going to get into conference play quite next season. Norfolk State, interesting road game at George Mason, might be winnable for them. Saturday. Over in the Missouri Valley Conference, we liked a couple of teams heading into the season, including Loyola Chicago. David, who lost a game, albeit to a pretty good Richmond team who, you know, we just talked about earlier.
Yeah, fell behind by, I want to say, 20 and fought their way back into that one. It was kind of an impressive second half. Two teams that we were not excited about coming into the year were Southern Illinois and Drake. Southern Illinois, unbeaten, got a big win at Butler.
Huge win at Butler.
Right, and I know that, like, you can look at Butler and say, well, they've only won one game, but they've played well in a lot of the games that they didn't win, and they came in last night knowing they needed to win. So this was not a Butler team that overlooked them or that dismissed the importance of it. They knew that last night's game was important, and Southern Illinois still getting the win. And they look good, Chad. I mean, Butler kind of came back to make it close, but this was really the first time I'd watched the Salukis at least that intently. This is a good basketball team. How did they get so good?
I don't know, but I'm with you there on the Southern Illinois team. I absolutely thought they looked really good at this game. This is a team, especially because they've got quality competition in this conference. We mentioned Loyola Chicago. We mentioned Drake, undefeated. Their quality of competition has not been quite that great so far. They played South Dakota, not South Dakota State. They played North Dakota, not North Dakota right. State. They played Chicago State, not Northwestern or something.
Yeah.
But the other team, though, is Missouri State. We've only seen them on the court three times so far, only two against D1, but very nice win Monday against Little Rock, who was a team that we thought was pretty good this season.
Yeah, and again, a Missouri State team that I don't think we were particularly excited about, but Little Rock we sure as hell were, expecting them to be a Sun Belt front runner. I still think that they will be a big win for the Bears.
And I think we got to stick with this conference with one more team, David. How about what Bradley did last night? They lost to Missouri, but it was a ferociously absolutely awful play.
Yeah, it made your eyes bleed.
But it was, they almost beat Mizzou, who was still undefeated.
So when you look at two of Bradley's losses, one was by a point to Xavier, another was by a point to Mizzou, and while, you know, two top 25 unbeaten teams, and while last night's game was so atrociously played, it made your eyes bleed. Bradley was in a position not to where they could have won, but arguably should have won both games had it not been for some incredible haphazard thing at the end.
I'm going to pull up another team sheet here for this Bradley team, David. I know it's going to take a few seconds here to load. Yeah. And at some point, we're going to figure out why we're having all these loading problems. But as it does come in here, the Bradley team, I want to look at some of the scoring margins they've had in these games. Not only the two 1-point losses, 4-point loss to South Dakota State, a 2-point win over Toledo, a 1-point win over Miami, Ohio. They play close games.
Right, yeah. If you like basketball, if you like exciting games, get your Bradley season tickets. It doesn't matter who they're playing. It's going to be exciting.
It's going to be close. I wouldn't necessarily say if it's played like last night's game, it may not be exciting.
Yeah.
We are getting into conference play, though, starting Sunday, Monday here in this conference. They are doing the same back-to-back format. So Loyola hosting Illinois State, Northern Iowa hosting Missouri State. Drake, where are they? They're at Indiana State.
Yeah, going to the trees. But how upside down is this? Because if you go back and look at the preseason, we're talking about Northern Iowa, you know, being in Loyola Chicago, being potential bubble teams. And I don't think we said a word about Drake or Southern Illinois. I think we just didn't even touch on them.
Yeah, we may be talking about Drake, Southern Illinois, and Missouri State as bubble teams by the end of the season.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
at least if things keep going the way they are.
Right.
One of our favorite conferences,
yes,
other than the Front Range, is always the Northeast Conference, which is getting well into conference play, even though poor Mary Mac still cannot get on the court. But we've had some pretty good games. A double overtime game yesterday, Sacred Heart winning at Wagner. Wagner blew them out off the court. This, again, that two games in a row at the same site. Wagner blew Sacred Heart out of the building at home Monday. Tuesday, right. Sacred Heart comes back and gets the one-point win on double overtime.
Yeah, and again, this is – the Northeast feels like the Northeast. You kind of hate that the atmosphere isn't there with the fans, but download the NEC Sports app because they stream all of the games for free. It's easy to navigate. And I think I finally figured out why we like this league so much, Chad. It has a playground feel to it. I mean, it's gritty. These kids come from the city playgrounds. Doesn't it seem to have that as part of its DNA? And that's certainly the same this year, to where every time you step on the court, it's like anybody can kind of beat anybody. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a city league.
It really is. It's just fun basketball. I really, you know, the other day I saw there's no games on. Then I saw, oh, wait, Wagner Sacred Heart. I'm set for the night.
Yeah. Oh, and just give it a chance. Turn it on. And, like, while it isn't high stakes in the sense that a lot of, like, mainstream basketball fans might think it is, it's high stakes in the sense that these kids have been – they know each other, they've played against each other, and here it is again. It's just every game has a rivalry feel to it.
I think we've got to give – well, a couple of points. Number one, remember here that the Northeast Conference is only letting four teams into the conference tournament this year, so there's a lot more at stake this season.
Yeah.
Number two, a shout-out to Bryant. Out of conference on Monday, picked up the huge win at UMass. So,
big
win for this Bryant team that I think is the best team of the conference.
I think so, too. Bryant actually really looking good this year. They took Syracuse to the wall as well, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. They could have won that game. And interesting, yeah. The KenPom ratings, they're number one tempo in the nation. They play a fast-paced tempo. And in just about a few minutes here, David, it's about a quarter of two in Eastern time as we record this. St. Peter's is going to be at St. Francis of Brooklyn. That is the only game scheduled for the next 7 days in this conference.
Yeah.
And by the time everybody's watching this, that game will be final. So
yeah, that game will be final. So
Ohio Valley Conference, though, Murray State was the team that was one of the two teams that we were all over in this conference, them and Belmont. We were very low on Austin Peay after a couple of very poor performances. And
yes.
So, of course, Monday night, Austin Peay beats Murray State, of course.
Yeah, after getting blown up earlier, about a week or two ago, by Murray State. So Murray State, wildly inconsistent, as is Austin Peay, as is really everybody in this conference. Eastern Kentucky, we were really impressed, or I was anyway, with how they played against Xavier and how they played in a lot of their out-of-conference games. And then they kind of slipped up and lost to, I believe it was Morehead State, after a big comeback win. They followed that up with a rather decisive loss. So then you're feeling pretty good. Well, Morehead might have really something going here. They almost beat Eastern on the road. Then they beat them handily at home. They lose to Edwardsville, who no one thinks anybody has who hadn't looked good at all, then suddenly looking good. It's just hot or cold. Like, you outside of Belmont, you don't know how bad or how good anybody's going to be, and that includes Murray and Austin Peay.
Belmont has looked really good. I really do like this Belmont team. I have no faith in Murray State for consistency. I have no faith in Austin Peay.
Yeah.
I will shout out again. I did like Eastern Illinois heading into the season. They haven't yet gotten a conference game in, but you know, keep an eye on this on Eastern Illinois if and when they do start playing conference games. That's the only other team that I'm not high on. There's other teams that are up there that are undefeated in conference, like Edwardsville and UT Martin. I mean, the whole story going on with UT Martin with their head coach Anthony Stewart having passed away. But you know, I don't think they're going to be tending for a conference title this year.
Right.
We have Murray State at Belmont coming up next week, though, David.
Always a fun game. Two really good teams with contrasting styles that has a lot of stakes because, again, this conference does the ladder format. whether it's the whether it's in the conference tournament or during the regular season, this is a game that I always circle. I think you do too. Is being you got to watch that game. It's two good teams with contrasting styles, and that's what we like the best.
Yeah, I expect we're gonna have a good one. I'm going to pull very, very quickly here the Patriot League standings. Obviously, the conference is not in action at the moment. Just to note that I have also gone ahead and separated out the divisions that they are using. Oh. North, yeah. Central, and South divisions, which is why you're going to see things, I think, like aren't Army and Holy Cross paying like 10 times this season?
I'm not sure I follow what it is they're trying to do. You had explained it to me, but I didn't quite understand.
Well, they are keeping teams very close to each other. If you look at those four top teams, they are the two New York and the two Massachusetts teams. Then you get the three Pennsylvania teams in the Central and the one D.C. and two Maryland teams down there in the South. So you're going to concentrate your games against those teams in your division, and you may not even play a team in the other division, or you only have one series of two games against teams from these other divisions. It's to almost eliminate as much travel as possible here.
Right.
Obviously the only teams that have played any games were Army and Navy playing their non-conference games, both of whom played pretty well, but we're still a couple weeks from getting Patriot League.
Right, and you don't know how to evaluate a league like this with no crossover games, with no conference. Hey, like,
Dave, where if I was building a bracket right now, I'd say we got eight undefeated teams in this conference. We got to put them all in, right?
Yeah. You got to. Wow, what a mess. Oh.
Let's. Hopefully, they get enough games, and there is that 13 game minimum. Hopefully, we get to at least 13 games played with these types of teams. But let's turn to a conference that we do want to seriously discuss at this point, and that is the SoCon with two undefeated teams. We can put aside the 3-0 Citadel, based on wins over Presbyterian and Longwood, which are not impressive. But let's talk. We mentioned them already. Let's talk about the Mocs there with, picked up the win at UAB, followed up with a broken at Tennessee State last night. Really liking the Mocs.
in the way they just pounded Tennessee State, and they beat UAB. It took me a while to warm up to them. And again, whenever anybody's undefeated, you're going to pay attention to them. But it's like, all right, let's see what they do when they actually play somebody. Well, they did, and they beat them. They went on the road, and they beat another unbeaten team. Now I'm starting to like the Mocs. I don't know if I like them quite as much as Mercer, who's the weight that they've lifted has been quite a bit heavier. But you'd be a fool to not think that this is a good Chattanooga team.
Right, and as you mentioned, Mercer, very good team. Furman, we mentioned earlier, they did suffer the loss to Winthrop. I still think it's a very good, very dangerous Furman team.
Yeah.
UNC Greensboro, a team we like going into the season, they struggled out of the gate, picked up two road wins at Elon and at North Carolina A&T this week. So, maybe they're starting to turn things around there also.
Yeah, and Elon in particular has played well this year. So that was a solid, maybe not we belong in the bubble, we're back, but we are a good team and we're back. So you can't just dismiss Greensboro.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun league as we get into conference play. I'm really looking forward to a lot of these games that we're going to be seeing here. VMI has played better than we've ever seen them play recently. They played George Mason tight, lost by two. We do actually get some conference play starting here. Furman at Chattanooga next Wednesday.
That's a great win. Yeah.
Circle that big time here. If you want to watch SoCon Hoops, that may be one of the top games of the season here.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Southland Conference, where Abilene Christian went to Arkansas last night in a game that, David, I think when we did our Hoops HD report, you were screaming about, you got to watch this game. Abilene Christian, they got their butts kicked by Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas sprinted out to a big lead, and Abilene, while they, I don't want to say they played poorly, they certainly at no point were in the game and in a position to win it like I thought they might be. There's no shame losing to Arkansas, but I would say that I legitimately thought that they were good enough to make a game of it and maybe even win it. And if they do, then, how good are you suddenly feeling about them?
Well, you still got to say, when you look at this conference, they're the only team with a winning record against Division I play.
Right.
So I still think they're the class of the league by far.
I do too. Yeah.
Although we do want to congratulate Northwestern State, who is outcashing some serious paychecks.
Yes.
played Monday night at Gonzaga, played last night at Gonzaga, and tonight they're playing at Wazoo. I mean, congrats to the Demons for they're going to tie South Carolina State with their 10th loss when they lose this game to Washington State tonight.
Yeah.
rest of the upcoming schedule here going into next week. I think we are going to start, you're still seeing bye games for another week, it looks like. Bye games and games against non-D1. Champion Baptist, two games at McNeese.
Mary Harden back in action.
I guess Incarnate Word of Texas Tech, Central Arkansas. Southeastern Louisiana at Lamar. There we go. There's a conference game. One conference game on the schedule here coming up next week, at least. It'll be the second in-conference game that's been played so far. Let's just move on over to the Southwestern Athletic Conference. The good old SWAC, who congratulations to Alabama A&M, David. 2-0
another
against
win.
D1 competition. Samford in South Alabama.
Yeah, and nothing really to sneeze at here. I mean, at first, it was kind of a backhanded compliment, but then to go out and beat somebody else, and this is a team that has not won five D1 games, at least I don't think, in a long time. So could they be turning it around? I don't know if they're going to compete for a conference title, and even if they could, they're not eligible anyway, but noticeable improvements. When you're beating anybody, especially Samford and South Alabama, that's a step up.
Yeah, I got to give a credit to them. Right now, the conference as a whole has 61 wins. Alabama A&M has a third of them. And they've only played two games. Just also note, I believe that the SWAC rules do allow them to participate in the SWAC tournament. So if they happen to win the SWAC tournament, I think it goes to the regular season champion for the auto.
Okay.
Just throw that out there.
All right.
That meant Alabama State. Alabama State is only going to play conference games, which hopefully will get started soon here in this league, because there are a lot of losses being piled up in this league.
As we typically see every year.
We see the upcoming schedule here. Actually, Grambling is hosting Southeastern Louisiana today as we record this. Texas Southern's got a couple more paychecks that are going to cash at LSU and at TCU. Maybe the following week, I think we finally get into conference play after the new year. But, David, the Summit League, North Dakota State kind of impressed me, even though they lost to South Dakota State in their in what they did in the Dakota Showcase a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
They impressed us in the loss to Kansas, and I think they impressed me again last night in another loss to TCU.
Yeah, so they're 2-6, and we thought it would be a bit of a building year, and it has been. But like you said, they've played well in those losses, and when you look at the rest of the league, the teams that they've been losing to and playing well against and almost beating are better than Kansas City, Oral Roberts, the Leathernecks, Omaha, Denver, certainly better. This is a team that's going to win a lot of games once they get in the league play, I think.
Yeah, I think we're going to have, we thought we might not have the South Dakota State, North Dakota State battle for the league title that we've had the last few years, but I think it's absolutely setting up for that at this point.
Yeah, it is. And there's something else we have to talk about, Chad. I'm so excited about it. But we do need to point out that North Dakota State has been playing good basketball, much better than their 2-6 record. Can we go back to last week's results, please?
Okay, we can go back to last week's results. Sorry about that. I jumped the gun on you there, David.
Okay, and you know where we're going with this. An incredible, incredible thing.
Okay, it's not on there. The way the results screen work, I got to apologize to everybody. We can only show one result per team per day. But there is a game. But why don't we pull up their team sheet instead?
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Okay, this will be on the team sheet. Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about North Dakota, though, or North Dakota.
No, we're not talking. We're talking about a team that is yet to win a D1 game.
We're talking about a team that is back in the Summit League for the first year this year after a few years out of it. We're talking about the Kansas City Ruse. And if you look down here as their schedule loads, you see here December 19th, 98-42 over Kansas Christian. December 19th, 95-36 over Kansas Christian. David, there must be a mistake in the team sheet.
They played two games in one day. I don't know. I had this idea a while ago that two schools, and I actually thought, how funny would it be if New Mexico and New Mexico State, who for a while, they still play each other home and home, but for a few years, they played each other on back-to-back nights. And I was like, what if two out-of-conference rivals did that, but did it in the same day? What if Wright State and Miami, Ohio, who typically are half full, decided, you know what, today we're going to have a package. We're going to have buses. We're going to fill both arenas, and we're going to play each other twice in one day. That was such a crazy idea that no one even considered doing it. Whenever I would brought it up, to I would get laughed out of the room. But UMKC did it.
They played
a and it wasn't a home and home, but they played two games in one day.
It's the first time that it's only the second time in my life, honestly, that I can remember a team playing multiple games the same day. And the only other situation was when Georgia played two games, a quarterfinal and a semifinal game in the SEC tournament the year that the tornado struck the Georgia Dome, which is
right.
An amazing story. There's a 30-for-3 about it and all that, about that Georgia team. But that was not a scheduled doubleheader. This was a regular scheduled doubleheader, same team.
We actually had to confirm with them. Are you playing two games in one day? You remember that we actually said that?
I think the response was, yeah, why not? in terms of upcoming games there, Denver, one of our front range teams, is going down to Grand Canyon on Tuesday.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump over. We got a couple conferences left here. Let's jump over to the Sun Belt next, where this is the third. Another conference is playing divisions, although we've been showing their division format all season so far with this league. David, we like Little Rock heading into the season. They've come up short a few times against, teams that they had shots at beating, like the Missouri State game on the other night. But Georgia State's a team that I'm kind of starting to circle here.
Yes, they have a win over Georgia Tech. Their only loss was to Mercer, a team that they also beat, an out-of-conference team that they played twice.
They split two games with Mercer, yep.
Yeah, which, another really good under-the-radar team. I agree with you. I love this Georgia State team. Louisiana also 4-1, but they have not lifted the weight that Georgia State has. I'm not quite as impressed with them yet. I still think Little Rock's going to have a big year. I think they just had a bad night to have a bad night earlier in the week. But I'm with you. I like this Georgia State team.
Like the Georgia State team. Still, I liked Coastal Carolina heading into the season. They really haven't played anybody yet, so I don't really – I mean, look at that 3-22 strength of schedule by Coastal. That's even worse than Louisiana's. But, we just don't know. It's one of those teams you just don't know enough about, even though they've played seven games, which is
– And it's kind of weird to be at – it's just a lot of things are weird. Normally, like, if you go back to the past years, like, after the – exempt tournaments, you kind of have a pretty good idea on everybody. There might be one or two that just haven't played enough games yet, but now it's like every conference there's one or two teams, if you've noticed, we've been like, we just don't know about them.
We don't know about them. And the Coastal Carolinas, I don't know. Again, we're not going to find out much this week. Coming up next Monday, Troy hosting Carver Bible College. And while we wait for our last conference to load, David, tell everybody a little bit about Carver Bible College.
I don't know a damn thing about Carver Bible College.
I found a way to
fill it. I know that they're playing Troy on Monday.
Finally, we get to the WAC here, which
that is buried beneath the radar, not just under it.
We go to the WAC here. I do still think New Mexico State, once again, the court's going to be a very good team. They just cannot get onto the court. They have not played a D1 game yet.
Yeah, they've set up shop in Phoenix, but still can't get teams on the schedule. And it's not from a lack of trying. They're in a geographic disadvantage. They're in a situational disadvantage. You almost say, well, what do we do now? Do we just, like, check into a hotel in Las Vegas and say, we'll play anybody? I don't know what to tell them. God, they need out-of-conference games.
Other team got to mention is Grand Canyon. Played two tough games against decent teams in San Francisco and Colorado, but went 0-2.
Yeah, not as good of a look last night, San Francisco. I'm sorry. They played really good against San Francisco, and really good against Arizona State in the game before that. Right. Colorado was a little bit over their heads.
No, they still, I mean, they were in
that
game.
Yeah, but they were still, they were in that
game most of the way. I honestly did not stay up and watch it, but from what I read about it, at least.
Yeah. They were in there, but, like, Colorado wasn't sweating, but they weren't blowing them out either.
Seattle actually had Cal most of that game last night also, but Cal came back and got the win at the end there. Upcoming schedule there, we see Utah Valley at Air Force, one of our front range teams. Denver, another one of our front range teams, at Grand Canyon. I don't know what else to say.
What you don't see is New Mexico State still with no games.
Still with no games. Hopefully they can get on the court at some point here. I believe we're going to be in towards conference play pretty soon in this league, though. Let's jump over to – how about to our top 10 lists?
Okay, yeah.
Our colleague Rocco Miller, who was going to join us for the show today, he did vote for the top 10, so his votes are tabulated in here. That's why there's so many honorable mentions, because he actually threw, like, a bunch of teams at me for honorable mentions. So,
yeah.
But let's run through all those honorable mentions. First of all, these are the teams that did receive votes, but or at least mentioned here.
Mentions.
Abilene Christian, New Mexico State, Toledo, South Dakota State, Akron, Hofstra, Belmont, Wright State, and even Marshall all the way down there.
Yeah, all those teams have done something. We talked about Wright State. We talked about Marshall. Hofstra, of course, with a big win. New Mexico State is interesting because, they just haven't been on the court. And when I'm putting my poll together, it's like, well, where do I put them?
I've been putting them consistently around 9th or 10th in my poll. Because I don't think they deserve to drop off my preseason polls.
Yeah.
Because they haven't lost a game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but all they did beat was Arizona Christian, I think, also. Number 10, we've got Georgia State, who we just talked about in the Sun Belt. Actually cracked into our top 10, so congrats to the Panthers there. Coming at number 9, Loyola Chicago, come out of one of the several teams we like in the Missouri Valley. They're still in our top 10. Yeah. I think that tells you about what we're going to see about some other MVC teams here as we go through this list. Two-way tie for 7th, we got Liberty and Furman still in our top 10 as well for the Paladins.
Yeah, and again, Furman, they've had some missed opportunities. I don't think that there's just enough there to get them inside the bubble, but still really good.
Okay. Coming at number 6, Chattanooga. The Mocs jumping over Furman to become our highest rated, or one of our highest rated SoCon teams.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's probably one from the SoCon that's
there's probably
higher
another SoCon team. Yeah. I think we only got left the SoCon and MVC at this point. MVC, how about Drake in there at number 5?
Yeah, undefeated. They need to get away from the pastry cart and actually play somebody really good, but still a strong team.
Here's another SoCon team, Mercer.
You know, we love this Mercer team.
You notice it here, it's SoCon and Missouri Valley. So how about one of those conferences again at number 3? Yeah, Southern Illinois. Why not?
Yeah, and deservedly so after certainly what the week that they had.
Yeah, great, great, great week for Southern Illinois with that win at Butler.
There's a Big South team.
There's a Big South team. We've got to another conference. How about Winthrop there, number 2? Deservedly so, I think.
Yeah, deservedly so. That's where I think that's where we all had them. And I think we all had this next team at number 1.
They've been number 1 all season in our top 10. They have not moved off that. There is Western Kentucky. David, I got to say, though, I think Western Kentucky in the next few weeks here might actually be coming off of our top 10 list.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they're going to get top 25 votes and not no longer be.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay, yeah. They're going to go up off of our list, not down.
Now
this Western Kentucky team, I think, is really good. I think if and when they get into the top 25 nationally, I think they deserve that.
They're a dangerous team.
They're a team I don't want to be matching up with in March.
Yeah, we have this debate all the time. I would love for my team to play them in March. I would love for my team to play anybody in March.
Oh, that's true. Being that my team is Rutgers, we haven't played anybody in March since 1990.
You're going to walk into the round. You're going to be a protected seed and walk into the round of 32 this year.
Our real hope would say is true. We're about an hour and a half away from, or 2.5 hours away from the start of our game at Ohio State today. But, David, let's move on to any final thoughts here. Why don't you finish off the show and tell us everybody else, everybody that's out there watching.
We got one more. I can't keep the date straight, but I was like, this is our last show of 2020. We got another one next Wednesday, assuming we stick to the regular schedule. A little bit of a matinee today. I just hope everybody watching has a good and safe and happy holiday. I realize that for a lot of people, it's going to be more upsetting than it is fun. We are certainly sympathetic to that. We'll be at home watching basketball. Tweet at us if you're looking for something to do.
Yeah, I've got to echo that. You know, I do want to wish everybody a happy, healthy, safe holiday here. It may not be the holiday that we all want to be having, but, I just say, make the best of what you do have. And I agree with David. If that means you got to watch 4 Big Ten games and tweet at us, go ahead and do it. We'll probably be available to respond. David's both of our Twitter handles are on the screen right there. You can shoot tweets right out at us. Or you can just delete David's Twitter account, which I recommend.
Most people have opted for that.
But I guess on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Happy holidays, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.